Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I asked Michael to come and share some of his testimony with us this morning. Where's Mr. Hennessy? Is he around? Coming up here, Michael.
All right. First off, good morning, church family, and thank you for allowing me a few minutes of your busy day to share my story with you. My prayers and hopes from this are that one person finds the peace and forgiveness of Jesus through my testimony. So my name is Michael Hennessy, and I used to be, or as I used to say in Alcoholics Anonymous, I am a born-again Christian and a recovered alcoholic. That's by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. I was radically delivered from alcoholism as well as a host of other things. I think that is important to mention because none of us are born alcoholics, and many of us are not raised in a Christian household. That's quite all right. We have an amazing testimony to share that will help others, and it's very important for us to share them with the world. Much of the time, shame holds us back, the embarrassments of our past and the things we did. Usually, we were abused, neglected, and hurt in some way or another. We think we are unlovable. That is what the world has taught us, and that is exactly what the devil wants us to think. We're actually vessels God uses to spread his love and share his grace to others. God takes all bad things and turns them into good, especially our past, as you'll see. Many of us live our entire lives either looking for answers on various subjects or just trying to figure out who we are. How was the earth made? How did I go through this? Why did I go through this? What's real and what's not real? Well, I found the answer, or rather it was given to me through searching, prayer, suffering, and supplication. I was born on June 23rd, 1981 in Gainesville, Florida. It's a little town called Alachua. I still to this day have never met my biological father, and up until recently, as God has put it on my heart, did not have or care to have a relationship with my biological mother. It was a bad childhood, to say the least. There wasn't much I can say that did not happen in a bad way. The physical abuse was involved very early. I watched it all. My mother would be dragged around the house by her hair. She was locked in closets and forced to do unthinkable things. The state took me away by age 3, I'd say. Somewhere for a short period, my grandmother, Betty, had stepped in and tried to take care of me. She was very handicapped and taking care of her mother and father as well. She could only keep up with me for so long. But because she was a devout Christian and prayed over me, God kept his promise, as he always does, and he kept his hand over me throughout my life. I still remember her taking me to church every Sunday and praying over me at bedtime. I would run around the block thinking I was playing hide and seek. At one point, it became a little bit too much for her to watch me safely. After about 6 months of living with Grandma Betty, she had to give me up. Nobody else in the family was stable enough or wanted to take over. I was an orphan and a ward of the state. Shortly after that, the sexual abuse crept in here and there. It always goes unnoticed. I was tossed around into different foster and group homes for a bit. There are the seasons that we go through to be molded into strong, God-serving Christians. You cannot help somebody with something you have never experienced. I was adopted at 5 years of age. The Hennessys, they had good intentions and truly meant to give me a good life and a good home. They just weren't prepared for the trauma and acting out due to the past abuse. It was never dealt with properly. They tried therapy, medications, ADHD, depression diagnoses, etc. Nothing seemed to work. I started acting out very early. I was stealing, I'd start little fires, and not listen to much of anything. By age 10, they had put me in a mental hospital for a few weeks until the insurance ran out. They were threatened with child abandonment, and somehow or another ended up placing me into another youth rehabilitation program located in Dayton, Ohio. It was for children with an assortment of trauma. I was lost, confused, and abandoned now. I was also learning different coping mechanisms, none of which were good. It was a horror movie come to life, literally. I learned in those hospitals to watch my P's and Q's. If you messed up, they would just shoot you up with some antipsychotic medicine, strap you in a restraint bed, and leave you in a padded room for the night until you woke up. Literally. I was stuck there for 2 years with one visit from the Hennessys and a handful of phone calls. By age 12, they had to move me back in. It wasn't by choice. It was a whole new mess of issues to deal with. There was no love or affection, only resentment and disobedience. I was placed in a school for kids with learning disabilities and anger issues, none of which I had up to this point. I was quite smart and I knew it. At this point in time, I had no identity and was very confused about life. I had no guidance or direction. By age 15, the Hennessys had given up completely. They had signed their rights over to the state, and I was again an orphan with no family. It was a mess. Now we could say the depression and anxiety started in. I was once again tossed in and out of, as well as kicked out of, multiple group homes and programs. Some was for acting out. Some of the time it was because they had no place for me. Still, God kept his hand over me. For the next few years, I was in strict lockdown programs. I learned there what to do and what not to do, but still had no life skills. At 18 years, I had aged out of the system. I was offered independent living classes and other types of help. Funny enough, a nice black woman that owned a foster home and remembered my last name from 16 years ago had took me in. She was a Christian, actually. I was made to go to another SED school, and the goal was to get my diploma. I was 18. I knew the number of credits and time it would take, seeing as I had a fifth grade public education on paper. I would sleep those days away. I started hanging out with the wrong people. After less than a few months, the nice lady kicked me out for stealing a bottle of Hennessy whiskey as she showered. I thought it was a good idea. She could no longer trust me. I was then homeless for a while. I started drinking and experimenting with different drugs and lifestyles. I survived using means that I knew. I was always a hard worker, but with little life training and in trade skills, I was limited to what I could do to survive. I sold drugs, stole, and did other unthinkable things to survive. I met my first girlfriend around this time. We were both young and messed up, but we accepted each other and were best friends. We went everywhere together. She introduced me to Pastor Steve one day. He was a Southern Baptist preacher that was building a church from the ground up in Pembroke Pines. After her telling him my story and meeting with me before church one Sunday for breakfast, he was gracious enough to offer me help. The congregation decided to let me live on their grounds as well as pay me to maintain and protect the eight square acre property that they were building the church on. They also would rotate me having dinner and with the different families. I knew God was real at this point and good. They made me get my GED and driver's license. If it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't have that till this day. Praise God. But I thought Jesus and the Bible was a made-up story. In my mind, I'll be honest, I thought these were a bunch of crazy religious people. But they accepted me and they loved me, and that's what was important. By about age 20, I had impregnated my girlfriend. I knew this would be looked down upon by the church, but I told Pastor Steve what had happened. And again, he was gracious. He could see I had backslidden from doing good, as I originally did when I first got involved with the church. It was now time to grow up. But what was that? I had promised myself never let what happened to me happen to my child. I was determined to be a good father. The church helped and supported us as much as they could, but I thought we could do it on our own. Neither side of the family wanted much to do with the situation. It was rather sad looking back. Once Amber, my daughter, was born, we did our best to be good parents. She had everything she needed and was a beautiful, happy, and healthy baby, praise God. We did not know much of what we were doing, though. After a series of unfortunate events, which were no fault of ours, the state got involved in our lives. It was my worst nightmare come to life again. They were trying to take my baby, and she would end up in the system, just like I did, lost. I fought tooth and nail to prevent this from happening. I stopped drinking and doing any drugs. I went to see a therapist to get a clearance that I was not crazy, amongst a host of other things I said I would never do. Eventually, my baby's mother and I broke up. I was in no position to be a single father. Now my fight was all uphill. I could not win. And this is how God works. One day, I was actually walking down the street feeling defeated. I was crying and praying to God to help me. That same day, I got a phone call from the social worker. God had told Pastor Steve, amongst prayer, if anything were to happen, to adopt Amber and raise her as his own. That was exactly what had happened. I ended up signing my rights over, and that day I lost a piece of myself. She was raised well, I've recently found out. Facebook. I learned I had the gift of gab and could use that to make money selling different items over the phone. It's better known as telemarketing nowadays. I never made much money, and if I did, it was gone fast. I had no budgeting skills. I was always in a dysfunctional relationship for fear of being alone. I was anxiety-ridden and had zero social skills. The next 10 years of my life were filled with depression, wasted time, and just getting by. I did not trust anyone and only saw the bad in people. Any decent job I had was lost due to drugs or alcohol. I was in complete denial that anything was wrong. I had nothing to my name and was living paycheck to paycheck. This was a revolving cycle. I lost everything I had acquired multiple times. By the grace of God, I stayed a free man through the decades and rather uninjured, actually. We're the type of people that God uses. Around 29 years old, I decided I should try to do something with my life. I went to school for massage therapy. I did rather well for a fifth grade education and received my license and certification after 11 months. Another toxic relationship came about, and so continued the drinking as well as other bad decisions. I started my first business with no experience. This is around 30 years old, and it was a mobile massage business. After designing the logo, website, business cards, and making it an LLC, I was on top of the world. After a few months, I started making a multi-million-dollar business proposal to pitch the Seminole Casino. It was actually a rather good idea, but with no business training, it went flat after about 5 months, plus the relationship I was in shambles. I did a few different jobs at this point, and fairly well. I was still as unstable as any time before, but I was determined as ever. I could do anything now. I wanted to further my education and so decided to sign up for physical therapist assistant at Broward College. While signing up for prerequisites, I found out that my ex had signed my name off of the business we had started, and she did it illegally. I was furious. Also around this time, I was blessed enough to live with my biological mother for a few months. I was a drunk and still very resentful towards her. I knew nothing of forgiveness at this time. Shortly after those few months, I decided to move away from everyone I knew and start over. I packed everything I owned in my convertible Mustang and moved to West Palm Beach with some woman I met online. It seemed like the right thing to do. For the next 11 months, I experienced demonic entities and had multiple close calls with death. By 11 months, I had no job, again, no license, no money, no family, and just about lost my sanity. I remember it very clearly. The townhouse we were living in was not hers, but her ex-husband's family's, who she had been extorting and using to pay the electric, water, and buy us dinner occasionally. By 11 months, there was no electric and no water. The toilets were filled with maggots, and the place was utterly destroyed. It was disgusting. I decided it was time to make a move. I was actually there alone at this very time. I got online and started searching for a job. Telemarketing it was. I was selling auto warranties. It was going well. So good they gave me a promotion to closer. If you're not familiar with fronter and closer, closer's like the top of the line with the sales jobs. Someone finally saw my potential. About 5 days before Thanksgiving that year, I heard a knock at the front door. It was the sheriff's office along with the people that owned the property. I had never met them. But when that woman walked into her house after a year, she was so upset she had me arrested. I was now in jail for a felony I had not committed. They had made up some charges to get me out of the house, and that was pretty much the reason for that. I was scared, but I knew they could not follow through with the charges. I did a lot of praying and stayed to myself in jail those 5 days. On day five, I heard my name over the microphone, Michael Hennessy, come up front. I was bailed out by someone, but who? I did not know anyone. I had no friends, no family. Either way, I got my stuff, and wearing nothing but my flip-flops and the stuff I wore going in, I was out. Turns out the owner of the company I had started working for not too many weeks ago had bailed me out. He put up $2,000, never had met me before, and he wasn't the type of guy to do something like that. That's God's hand over me. He knew I was innocent, and he did that. So, as I was saying here, this was not a sweet or humble guy. This was God watching out for me. So for the next 6 or 7 years, I was a mess. I even decided to try all of the drugs I had always been so prejudiced against in the past. I had no friends and family, as I mentioned. I had basically given up on the world and humanity. I decided I wanted to be homeless and without responsibilities. And there so I did. Throughout the next many months, I learned how to sell really well over the phone. Even being homeless, I was in relationships just to be in them. By age 37, I could not count the days I was sober on my 10 fingers. I was a complete mess now. My life was a delusion. I was starting to notice something was holding me back. The devil uses drugs, alcohol, and our past to suppress the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I'm here to tell you the devil's a liar and he's a fake. And if you are here in this, online, or in this church for the first time, my family, is because God has big plans for you. The truth is going to set you free. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. But realize God's a gentleman. He's not going to push himself on you. But once you open up to him, the love and peace that he has to offer is like nothing I've ever experienced in 42 and a half, going on 43 years. And I can't wait to get some more. So after trying to figure out my place, I started realizing I wanted to be closer to God. After all, he is the only one who has never let me down. I ended up dating the HR lady that had started working for the company I was selling warranties for. This was a big no-no, but I was a no-no type of guy. She was 15 years older than me, a Christian, and sober for 20 years. It was a very toxic relationship. I was still an active drunk, but she knew I wanted to be a pastor and serve God, and she wanted to save me. It was not time for my saving yet. After dating for about 6 months, it got physical. I took a couple of beatings and started sleeping in my car for weeks at a time out of fear to avoid the conflict. She had a few issues of her own, it turns out. But as toxic as it was, God used her to teach me. I was an alcoholic and would kill myself if I did not stop. And so my search for my place on this earth began. I wanted to stop, but I didn't know how. Sometimes God must put us through the ringer to get us where we need to be. We're a stubborn, stubborn people. Amen, brother. Months went by. We had broken up, finally, but she was determined to help me still. She got me a grant of sorts to get into a 30-day program. The catch was I had to admit myself into a hospital for 3 days to make sure I was safely detoxed. After trying to get in one night, I found they would not accept me, as I was not suicidal or homicidal. 2 days went by. Here comes the God again. I was binge drinking to get it out of my system. I knew it had to stop soon. God had made it clear I could not serve him in this condition. In a fearful rage and attempt to escape her presence one evening, I flipped my car at 60 miles per hour on the railroad tracks on Skyline. It was just what I needed to be admitted into the hospital for those 3 days. I was now technically a danger to myself. I used that to get in. In those 3 days, I experienced true mental illness and how blessed I actually was to still be as clear-minded as I am. I took 3 planes to Arizona shortly after that, where I committed myself to getting sober. I went to every meeting in this program for 30 days and made it clear I was there to get sober so that I could be a pastor and serve God. There, I learned I could stay sober. Upon coming back home, I moved in with the same woman that talked me into going there. It was still toxic and nothing changed on her end. One morning, I heard a knock on the door. Wouldn't you know, it was the Martin County Sheriff's officers. 8 months later, they came back around to get me on the DUI. I thought I had totally escaped. I thought I had gotten away. I had no idea, but they were there with the DUI warrant. They took me to jail, and I was there for a few hours. I was, you know, good enough to be able to be bailed out. Long story short with that, I left her, and for the next year, did my time on probation and paid my dues. I started going to AA by choice, not by force. I told myself I'd never go to AA. I thought I was better than those people. I really thought they were crazy people, and it was a cult back in the day. Then, one nightly meeting, I met a guy that I noticed had something I wanted. Little did I know, he was a pastor. Shortly before COVID, I started my 12 steps with him. Since I knew God was real, it was a little easier than most cases. You gotta accept that higher power. I stopped cold turkey for the first 4 months. I would do a lot of walking and praying to stay busy. He started teaching me how the Bible and the big book related, the scales over the eyes, God working instantly. The whole Bible was true. I believed it. My eyes were open to God's word and the power of it. All of my questions about life and who I am were finally answered. I am a child of God. How cool was this? I was not an orphan and I wasn't fatherless. Neither are you, person who's listening. Since that time, with the complete guidance of the Holy Spirit and only with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I was able to start a thrift store, start a 1C3 nonprofit organization, build multiple websites, open a food truck, learn to build a boat, self-publish a book, been on the radio multiple times, my pastor here, and I've found peace through the trial and error of it all. This was all done with a fifth grade public education. Praise God. With him, all things are possible, and I take no credit for it, lest we not boast amongst ourselves. Sure, all good things come from him. I've also learned that I do have a family. It's a family in Christ, and so do you, friends. During these times, I've also learned it is important for each individual person to find their talents God has given them and use them to serve the community and spread the word, the good word. For believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God only. My vision was East Coast Angels Incorporated, and our mission is to eradicate child homelessness and neglect. I will not lie. At first, I wanted to do everything by myself. I was going to save the world. Still am. Just God and myself. My Heavenly Father has taught me that it's not how it works. We are different people, and we need to lift each other up and help each other through hard times. I will also say is that since I have met Jesus, I've witnessed, experienced, seen, and provided miracles, wonders. I've seen people healed of stuff the doctors said they couldn't be healed of. I was healed from mental illness, alcoholism. Just miracles happen. So if you want it, it's there for you, but you have to look for it. And upon looking for it, you will receive it. And we're told not to promise, but you have my word on that because it's God's word, and I trust God. And hopefully this helps somebody.
Raise a hand and lift up Michael. Father, I just thank you for the great power of God through Jesus Christ to set us free from every hurt and hang-up that the enemy has plastered into our lives. Father, Michael is on his way. Lord, you've delivered him. We love him. We thank you for him. We thank you for his story, for his boldness to be able to talk about his failures so he can give you the glory. Thank you, Father, for the great work you've begun and the work you will be faithful to complete, and we'll get to see it together. Amen. Now, some of you that have been quiet for a long time need to work on your testimony because people need to hear what God's done in your life as well, because it is really important, because people need hope. We're going to talk about hope this morning. Hope. It's important, and it's important that other people who have known us or meet us come to understand that God is not a respecter of persons, but what he has done in one life, he's able to do in others. Some of you have family members, you have relatives that are in need of a great touch of God, and I just sense that it was time again for Michael to just share some of his story. And that's not only for us to hear, to be able to apply the faith toward those that we know, but it's also for Michael to be able to develop his gift, because God has a call on his life too. And so we're here as a family, and we're here to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. So that's pretty awesome. So if I ask you this morning, what is the biggest thing that you are expecting from God? I don't know what that would be, but I trust that all of us have a list of things we're believing God for. I could say that we're praying for, but I want to say that we're believing God for. So why pray unless we believe God listens, right? And why pray if we believe God is listening? Why pray unless we believe God is a God who answers? We do pray because we believe, and we also know that God is a God who answers prayer. I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to start there, Hebrews chapter 11. And you're very familiar with this passage. Hebrews chapter 11. We're just going to start with verse 1. We're going to read the first 6 verses. Hebrews chapter 11. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for, there's that word, hope, H-O-P-E, what we hope for is going to happen. Now, if you have the King James, it says faith is, right? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave his approval to people in the days of old, the patriarchs of old, because of their faith, and then it leads into a whole list of those who by faith saw many things accomplished that would have never happened had they not been in a relationship to trust God. They certainly did not have the born-again experience as we have. They did not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit living in them like we have today. And yet here in the book of Hebrews, we find that these, we call them heroes of faith, don't we, are brought into the new covenant for us to look at their lives and understand the significance of each one of us personally believing that God who is who He says He is, and God does what He says He's going to do. God is faithful to all of that. But we're talking about testimonies. John is not here this morning to share his story, John Roma. Some of you would remember John and Sadie Roma. They were with us when we were on Central Parkway in the second location, not our first church, but the second location there. Sadie had prayed for John for years and years and years. John grew up as a religious person, and because of his church identity, and he just believed that that was all there was to it. That's all he needed, that through the church he would be saved. Sadie would sort of drag him along to church. And I could always tell the men who were being drug along because their heels left scuff marks in the floor as they came in. And John was one of those guys. And I don't know how many years John was dragged to church by his wife, but she brought him in, and she would always say, "Pastor, pray for John. Pastor, pray for John." She was always asking for prayer for John. And John thought he was just fine, you know. He didn't think he needed to be born again. That's something that, but he loved his wife and he put up with her, but he didn't agree with her and he didn't listen very well to her. And some of you have heard me tell this story where Sadie called me one day at the church office and she said, "Pastor, would you consider driving the bus to Orlando for a Benny Hinn meeting?" And I didn't know how to say no to Sadie, but I knew what that was going to involve. It was going to involve however many services we had, and then we were going to be driving for hours to get up there, and then we'd have hours of a meeting, and then I would be driving back home and probably get home midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, that it would be perhaps a little more than I was physically able to get excited about. And I thought, besides, what is there in Orlando with Benny Hinn that God couldn't do right here? And so I want to just challenge you this morning to understand that God is able to work through things and in ways that we may not understand. You may be praying today and believing God for some to come to Christ. You're exercising your faith. You're believing God for a breakthrough. And you may not see anything happening whatsoever. And of course, this was Sadie. And Sadie had done all that she knew to do. And she didn't have any word. She didn't tell me, "Now, Pastor, you know, God has told me if we go to Orlando that my husband's going to have an encounter with God." She didn't share any of that. But she just had the kind of faith that said, "Anything and everything that I can do to get my husband exposed to the gospel, I'm just going to believe." You know what? She had hope. She had hope. She did not let anything steal her hope that her husband was going to be saved.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may